Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
Well, first of my good evening. Hope you're really well. This is what we've got coming up before 5:30. Island bus drivers are set to walk out for 10 days. So what is that going to mean for you? We'll have everything you need to know so far. Also tonight, almost a week after storm damage tore through the sunken gardens in Douglas, questions remain about how bad it is, who's paying for it, and when it will be fixed. Meanwhile, in Ramsey, concerns are growing over flood protection. One of the town's MHKs says the Department of Infrastructure may have got the balance wrong. And on the mountain course, a familiar name is set to return. A newcomer to this year's MGP is carrying the Quail legacy back to the course. All that, the weather, the traffic and the travel, and you can always text the studio 166 177. We'll start with a roundup of the day's main news headlines with Darren Fastamai.
Bus drivers on the Isle of Man are set to go on strike for 10 days from next week. Unite the Union has confirmed the action to Manx Radio following a dispute over pay and contract issues. It's expected to commence from the 21st of February. Douglas Council says its recycling team have been put at risk after knives were found during its rounds. The local authority's crew found numerous sharp metal objects as well as a sieve and a whisk in a recycling box left at curbside. And a yellow weather warning for snow and sleet will come into effect in the next hour. Hills are expected to see the most accumulations of snow, but precipitation could fall to lower ground. In international news, a nursery worker who filmed himself sexually abusing toddlers in North London has been sentenced to 18 years in prison. Vincent Chan had pleaded guilty to 56 offences, including some committed while a primary school teaching assistant. Metropolitan Police Detective Superintendent Lewis Bashford says the consequences of Chan's crimes will last a lifetime.
We recognise that although our investigation may be ending, the journey for those navigating the impact of these crimes is only just beginning. The scale, nature and cruelty of Chan's offending have caused immeasurable trauma.
There's been a sharp rise in the number of people waiting more than 12 hours for a bed in A&E departments in England. Last month, more than 71,000 people were waiting that long, the highest since records began. And Manchester United have released a statement following co-owner Sir Jim Ratcliffe's comments about immigration in the UK. The club says it prides itself on being an inclusive and welcoming club, shown by the diverse group of players, staff and global community of supporters who reflect the history and heritage of Manchester. Those are the headlines. News next at 6.
Thank you very much indeed, Darren. Now the weather brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. Darren mentioned that yellow weather warning coming into effect at 6. That is for snow. For high ground initially, so above 1,200 feet, it will then increasingly move to lower levels as the night goes on. So that's anything from above 800 feet from around midnight down to 400 feet later in the night. Then as that colder air sinks across the island, rain and drizzle will begin to turn to snow over high ground, falling as sleet or rain at lower levels. But through the night, that snow level will gradually lower. So any accumulations of sleet or snow will lead to icy or slippery conditions. The area of rain is going to clear tomorrow, so the rest of tomorrow will be dry but cold. Who's going to be the first up to do the old picture on the webcam up there, do you reckon? So the general forecast, further outbreaks of rain this evening and tonight, as we say, falling as snow initially over higher ground. By the end of the night, sleet lightly on lower ground, and there will be slight accumulations. Temperatures overnight will be around 2 Celsius, sub-zero though, on the hills. Then tomorrow morning, rain, sleet and snow will clear away. The rest of the day will be dry with sunny spells developing and top temperatures around 5 Celsius.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbrook Trading Estate.
It's coming up to 5:05 here on Update. Well, more on that bus strike which was announced today. Towards the end of last year, bus drivers voted in favour of industrial action. That was following a dispute over pay and contract issues. There was something of a truce over the festive period, but we have since heard that strike action is now due to take place for 10 days. That is starting next Saturday, which is the 21st of February. Lewis Foster has the details.
On the 5th of December, following a ballot of its members, Unite the Union said bus fan-in drivers had voted in favour of industrial action. The issues under dispute related to pay, conditions and changes to long-standing entitlements. There was a nervousness at the time about the potential impact on public transport provision over Christmas and New Year, with the former DOI Minister, Michelle Hayward, urging the union to come back to the table.
And to work to find a way forward, because nobody, the bus drivers and the department, nobody wants to see that service upset. It's a really important service for our island, and we all rely on it to one extent or another.
And that's what happened, with the Manx Industrial Relations Service facilitating talks between Unite the Union and the Department of Infrastructure. Action was put on hold, Christmas was back on. 6 weeks into the new year, however, and rumours started coming in that bus drivers would no longer be delaying industrial action and strike action would be taken later this month. Sources told Manx Radio that a 10-day walkout would start on the 21st of February, next Saturday. Whilst the Unite Union is yet to issue a formal statement on this matter, it did confirm that this was the case.
Lewis Foster reporting there. Well, the Infrastructure Minister, Tim Crookle, will be live on Breakfast tomorrow to answer any questions on this. So that will be around about 8:05. It's coming up to 5:06 now.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
On 26th and 27th of November, Social Security officers phoned customers who hadn't responded to the letters which had been sent to them to check they'd received the letters and to establish whether they were now able to provide their bank account details to the Social Security Division. If they did not have a bank account, the officers then assessed whether they may be eligible for the payment exception service.
Well, that was the update given in the House of Keys about the MyCard situation, which happened a little bit earlier this week. You can find the full story on that on manxradio.com. A 46-year-old taxi driver has been remanded in custody after admitting fraud offences involving his father's bank account. Martin Moore of No Fixed Address pleaded guilty to 9 counts of fraud by false representation. Those offences took place between November 2025 and January this year and involved fraudulent cheques totalling £11,103. The court today heard Moore's father had sole access to the account. Moore admitted tracing his father's signature from a legitimate cheque and then applied it to further checks which he cashed using a mobile banking app. He was arrested at the Sea Terminal in Douglas. In a police interview, Moore said his taxi business had dipped significantly and that he was desperate. He described what he'd done as foolish and shameful, insisting it came from opportunism rather than malice. Magistrates said the offences were so serious they required greater sentencing powers and committed the case to the Court of General Jail Delivery. Moore has been remanded in custody and will appear again on the 20th of February. Now, Douglas Council says it's in the assessment phase of dealing with the damage sustained to the sunken gardens during a recent period of bad weather. Chair of the Regeneration Committee, Natalie Byron-Tier, believes the Department of Infrastructure's seawall should be extended to the end of the promenade, which is most affected by coastal overtopping and high tides. The council also claims, despite social media comments it had been suggesting otherwise, the sunken gardens were not designed for defence, but to allow the public to enjoy the area with protection from sea breezes. Councillor Byron-Tier says a capital programme has been approved for new, more modern storm boards.
So at the moment, we're really just assessing the damage. We've seen this happen before down at the sunken gardens, and we're still in the aftermath of that. The weather's still not sort of cleared up enough. Our priority is obviously protection of the public. So as soon as anything like this happens, we make it safe, we coordinate off, and then as soon as it's accessible for us to get in there, clean up and remove any debris, we can clean up and start assessing what the problem is. And we're still just at that early stage yet. Sadly, these things take a long time to get to fruition, and we will be looking at, once the weather allows, really to start looking at when we can replace the walls and rebuild. When we talk about procedures, we obviously are aware when storms are incoming, so we prepare for that. We put the storm boards out and we try and prepare for that water coming. We've all seen Mother Nature, she kind of will come at force sometimes. Boards on this occasion were actually washed away. We have just put through a capital programme to look at the storm defence down there. We've put through a project to put in new replacements for the storm boards, more modern and hopefully better protection there. But it really falls back to the seawall it's my belief, and I know of others that agree with me, that the seawall should be the first defence, and not having one in that area, this is something we're just going to have to continue to deal with unless central government come up and get that wall built where it needs to be. Quite obviously, that the two ends of the proms are the worst affected, and you know, we're not seeing anything done there, so that is very disappointing. So we will have to do the best we can to protect the gardens going forward.
What do you think then are the next steps?
You know, the process now is to wait till it's safe enough, clean it up, and then start planning on the rebuild. We are insured, so we'll have to go through insurance processes to have the job done. And we have to look at the best solution to protect the gardens going forward.
That's Chair of the Regeneration Committee, Natalie Byron-Tier, talking to local democracy reporter Emma Draper. We have invited the Department of Infrastructure to comment as well. Well, we'll move a little bit further north, or down north if you prefer, because a Ramsey MHK is concerned the Department of Infrastructure hasn't got the balance right with plans to install flood defences there. Now, the proposed scheme includes a new flood wall around West Quay, highway drainage upgrades, replacement of essential services under the roadway, and reconstruction of footways and carriageways in the area. It's hoped the wall, which would be around 4 feet high, would significantly reduce tidal flood risk and protect up to 542 properties. But Dr. Alex Allenson believes it could have a drastic impact on the town.
Well, Ramsey has been for many years identified as one of the key risk places on the Isle of Man. Tidal flooding is part of it. We also get flooding coming down from the Litany and from the Sulby River as well. And if you can remember a couple of years ago when somebody was canoeing down Parliament Street, that was a combination of all three. But with what's now called coastal overtopping and high tides and strong winds, the quayside in Ramsey is prone to flooding. And then that can affect quite a few of the businesses there because they have basements. So it is a big issue. A knock-on effect of that is obviously getting things like insurance for those businesses and for the town in general. So it's something that I think we've always been keen on getting. But obviously there have been proposals for a seawall to keep out the tide. And these date back for the last 6 years. We had original proposals in 2020 and those were rejected because a lot of those were also removing some of the parking around the quayside, which is quite important for the businesses there and also for the people of Ramsey and our visitors.
That wall would be around 4 feet high.
Yep.
So it's quite a substantial wall. Obviously, Douglas has had a similar seawall now, which has had a mixed response, I think it's fair to say. What are your thoughts on it?
Well, the main aspect is I think people in Ramsey need to be aware of the plans. When you look at the artist's impressions of the wall, it would significantly change Ramsey. If you're driving down the quayside, you wouldn't be able to see the harbour. If you're walking there and you happen to be a little bit short, you're a child, you're in a wheelchair, you would not see the harbour. And it would affect quite a few of the businesses there because of the loss of 50 parking spaces. From a very personal basis, I love sitting outside the Traff with a pint. Those benches would go. It would stop a lot of the things that we take for granted there now. I'm not sure whether this scheme has got the balance right, and I do find that the height of the wall is going to be very, very intrusive and will change the character, I think, of a lot of the town.
That is the Ramsey MHK, Dr. Alex Allenson, talking to Amy there. In response, the Infrastructure Minister, Tim Crookall, has described the plans as a major investment in Ramsey's future, with the DOI looking, as we say, to protect homes and businesses while creating a safer, more sustainable environment.
Manx Radio Travel, serviced by Quayside Tyres.
Well, nothing specific on the roads. Obviously, it is going to be a little bit icy later on in the night, so if you're travelling, do take care. Until the end of the week, there are temporary lights at the bottom of Prospect Hill. They're there 24 hours a day for sewer work. Still loads of lights on Call Road near the Business Park and on Braddon Road just up from Braddon Bridge. And the Millennium Bridge closed again tonight from 8 p.m. to 6 a.m. All okay down at the airport, just a little bit of a delay on one of the Logan Air flights. And then the steam packet, the Manxman, due into Douglas at 5:30, heading out for Heysham again at 7:15.
Manx Radio Travel, serviced by Quayside Tyres. Call Quayside Tyres on 664417 to book your free vehicle's winter check so your vehicle is safe for you and other road users.
You're listening to Update here on Manx Radio, and it's coming up to 5:15 now. A former MHK has formed a pressure group calling on the Isle of Man government to focus on good governance. The group is called Future Isle of Man. It's aimed at looking at how the island is governed ahead of the election. And there are three pillars which members focus on. So these are improved democracy, smaller, smarter government, and a higher quality strategic thinking. Chris Robertshaw, who is part of the party, accused politicians of being disconnected from the public.
The words you keep hearing these days is, well, why haven't the public been asked about issues? People quite rightly now feel disconnected. Well, the truth is, to some degree, the members of House of Keys themselves are now disconnected. What's happened since the ministerial system came in? And in many respects, it has many good points, but it also has profound weaknesses which must be addressed and must be dealt with so we get to a situation where there's good government. The departments are actually getting bigger, and there's this constant undercurrent throughout the population saying, well, you know, our government's just getting too big, we're uncomfortable with this, and they're right to say so. But unfortunately, the frontline services are also being drained to some degree to support these growing bureaucracies.
What functions do you think are redundant?
One of the things I've become aware of is the degree to which future AI implementation will profoundly change the way our government works. As I become more aware of how AI has this extraordinary powerful capacity to integrate high-quality thinking, that will progressively replace the bureaucratic process. That will allow a lot more money to filter through back to frontline services. And government will again become what it's supposed to be, which is providing services to the people. For a number of years now, I've been saying, you know, does the government serve the people or do the people serve government? And unfortunately, currently, we're at the latter and we have to go back to the former. Look wherever you like. Recently, our Minister of Department for Enterprise didn't even know what was going on in the hotel sector. The farming sector's in disarray. We've got serious problems with our health service. So we're getting a bigger and bigger government, which is becoming less and less competent.
That is former MHK Chris Robertshaw, who has formed the group Future Isle of Man. He was talking to Christian there. We just had a text in to say it's already snowing up on the mountains. If you are travelling that way home tonight, do take care. I don't think it's sticking at the moment, but it's a little bit dicey in places. So just watch out when you're travelling up over the mountain road. It is 17 minutes past five now. I'll Listen says a five-year partnership with the Z Zurich Foundation and Zurich on the Isle of Man has transformed youth mental health support services across the island. So since 2020, this collaboration has delivered more than 2,900 wellbeing sessions in schools, and it's reached over 98,000 people through programmes for pupils, families, employees and the wider community. Chief Commercial Officer at Zurich, Ailish Harris, and First Head of Services at I'll Listen, Annabelle Ennett, have been talking to Christy.
We pretty much launched it into all of the schools straight away. It took some time. You know, we were a new service. Rightly, it takes the schools a bit of time to build up that trust and that relationship. But, you know, 5 years on now from that, we are working and engaging with every single school on the Isle of Man. And that is down to the ZZF funding, that initial cash boost that allowed us to grow the service to meet the needs of the community that were really clearly there at the time.
Ailish, from your point of view, how have you been able to see this kind of in action? What have you witnessed with regards to this collaboration yourself?
I saw Isle Listen kind of growing right in their infancy. And actually, from where they were from the first time that we met to where we were kind of at the end of the grant funding was just like it polar opposites. And I think what we've benefited from as an organisation is being able to come in at kind of critical points, like, okay, they moved office, they needed help with, you know, people coming in, helping them paint the office. Great, we can go in and we can do that in terms of volunteering. But also the pace at which the organisation was growing in terms of the people that they were taking on, the schools that they were getting access to, and that kind of infrastructure that within the third sector, you don't often have that kind of full expertise that corporates like Zurich have in terms of that HR support that you need, how to organise your people, supporting on the board, that actually we massively benefited from. Stuff that comes really kind of naturally to people that work in like financial services. You just assume that, you know, organisations know how to structure themselves. But actually, you know, seeing I'll Listen overcoming all of those things and having a part to play in that for us was just like great, that actually we could do something that fell outside of just financially supporting the organisation.
That is Ailish Harris, who's the Chief Commercial Officer at Zurich here on the Isle of Man, and also Annabelle Ennett, who's the Head of Services at I'll Listen. So great news story about that collaboration there. At 19 minutes past five, we had a message in from Michael in Laxey, who says, on the subject of the harbour wall in Ramsey, with a wall of 2 feet or 4 feet, how are the people with boats fastened to the harbour harbour wall going to access their boats, having first to mount a high wall. I've said in the past, says Michael, that the best and possibly the cheapest solution and more pleasing to the eye in the harbour would be a lock-type wall, as they have in Peel. If you'd like to send any thoughts in, you're more than welcome, 166177, or you can email studio@manxradio.com. Now, Ilium Quayles, son of TT winner Richard Milky Quayles, says he's still pinching himself at the prospect of working under the TT legend Ian Locker for his Snaefell Mountain Course debut later this year. He'll race for the Team ILR at the Manx Grand Prix in August, and he's been speaking on the Startline podcast.
The man needs no introduction, does he really? I mean, he is a legend. It's an amazing opportunity to be working with Ian Locker and his team. Every now and then I'm still pinching myself that it's happening. Like, everyone talks about like 250 Grand Prix bikes, but obviously I was a bit older than that. But for me, that's what the patterns are like. I've always said that whenever I get out on the TT course, I will love to have a rip on one of them. So to be able to have that on a Honda CBR 600 at my fingertips, it is amazing. It is unbelievable.
So how did this all come about then?
Dad's known Ian for ages. And then a couple of years ago now, probably I would have been, 18? I went over to the Northwest to help Jamie Williams. And I went up to Locker and I said, I want to ride one of your bikes. And he was like, you know, all right, okay, yeah, all right. And then nothing happened then. And then it got to the end of last year. And then obviously me and Manx Legend Racing split. And then I just said to him, I said, look, I've got nothing sorted for this year. Is there a possibility that we can sort something out? And it's literally just snowboard from there, really.
And what does it mean to you, not only in terms of having that support behind you, that team support, but as you say, I mean, he is such a legend. You know, if somebody knows what they're doing around the mountain course, it really is him. What does that mean to you to have that?
It honestly means the world, because obviously it was always going to be a struggle with Dad as well. Obviously, he can't be changing, taking a set of wheels out, putting a set of wheels in, and then 5 minutes before I'm out, and then he's got to go and flipping, close the road up by the, get parked for and they short. So the plan was always to go and find a ride for somewhere else rather than trying to do it off our own backs, because it just would be impossible. I mean, to have Ian is just, it is amazing. The little nuggets of advice that he can give on not only riding, but everything else around actually on riding. It's just, yeah, he's unbelievable.
That is Ilium Quayles there. And you can hear more on the Manx Radio Motorsport. Just search for the Startline podcast. It's 21 minutes past five, and a group of volunteers in Peel are hoping their weekly event will help bring the community together. It's called the Shared Table, and it's a weekly event offering a three-course meal to anyone who wants to go. And it's free, open to anyone, as I say, regardless of their situation. Rachel O'Connor and Katie Denning are two of the organisers, and they've been talking to Amy.
Originally, it was for the working family, and then it ended up becoming this idea where actually it's just a community space for anyone that wants us. So we've got elderly people that live in sheltered accommodation, but then we had a young widow come last week with her child. Just people that want to come together. Yeah. It's just, if you fancy a nice dinner and a bit of a chat, lonely, you're a bit skint, you know, whatever it might be, come along and see us.
And it's not just a nice dinner. I mean, you're doing three courses as well.
Ambitious.
Yeah, it was a bit ambitious, wasn't it? And it is, you get served at your table, so it's not a queue up and wait for the soup type vibe, and we're really trying to get away from that, aren't we?
Yeah, definitely, like, definitely trying to break that stigma around waiting for food and, you know, holding a plate in front of someone
absolutely
asking for it.
Yeah, that's
we
not,
don't want that.
Yeah, it's not that at all.
And so how is it working behind the scenes then?
Chaos. No, I'm joking. We are organised.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it must be hard though.
It is hard. We thought it would just be, oh, we'll just nip in on a Thursday and do this. It's becoming, like, the admin for it's quite significant, isn't it? We love it, but on a Thursday we all go home and we are exhausted from serving people three-course dinners. But it's a nice exhaustion. I can't explain the buzz in there on a Thursday evening, and it's so good.
You've done a few weeks of this now, so how has it been so far? How has it been received?
The first week...
The first week was a disaster.
We don't need to talk about it. The first week, we had, I think, actual three people the first week to come and sit down and have the food because they'd seen it.
So disheartening,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Because
we put so much work into it. And because we're not a registered charity, there's obviously the financial side of it as well. But I think people thought there was, again, the soup kitchen thing. And people are too embarrassed to come and use you if that's the vibe that you're going for.
So what's next then for the Shared Table? Where do you go from here?
A few people have
already asked us to start up in different cities across the island.
Yeah, so someone's asked us to come to Castletown and someone else has asked us to come to Douglas, and we would love to, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
But we all have full-time jobs and
we're families. Realistic, I think. We need to find our feet where we are first and, you know,
just keep swimming,
establish ourselves.
Hopefully. We want to expand. We want it to become a shared table island-wide,
yeah.
But let's not run before we can walk. It is amazing the difference we've made. It feels really nice, doesn't
it,
on the Thursday
night?
Yeah, I think
we were shocked originally with how many messages we got ultimately saying that people did need it and want it. I think the stories that we heard about why people might want to come along were quite overwhelming, actually, some of the responses that we got. So we know that it's needed and we know that it's wanted by people. So we just have to keep operating on that basis, I think.
What a lovely community story. That's Rachel O'Connor and Katie Denning talking to Amy. If you'd like to go along, it's on tonight between 6pm and 8pm at the Western Wellbeing Centre. You'll be more than welcome. The Sport On update is brought to you by The Print Shed, and here's Rob Pritchard.
Fastamai, well, we've already heard about one motorsport story already tonight on Update. Well, we're going to stick with motorsport here at the moment because TT competitor David Davo Johnson will compete for Platinum Club Racing for a third consecutive year in 2026. The team has announced the Australian will spearhead its road racing campaign for the forthcoming year, and Johnson, who has one TT podium to his name so far, will be on board the squad's Kawasaki ZX10RR machinery. While having debuted at the TT in 2010, the rider has also competed in all but one of the meetings on the Snaefell Mountain course over the last 13 years. Well, speaking on the announcement, Johnson says he's absolutely delighted to be back with the team once again, adding he genuinely believes he can fight for TT podiums this summer. The 2026 Isle of Man TT races are scheduled to take place from Monday the 25th of May to Saturday the 6th of June. Sticking with the TT, and the CD Racing team has announced it'll be fielding Adam McLean at this year's event. The Northern Irishman is set to compete in the two Supersport races on board the squad's Kawasaki ZX6RR machinery. Well, during last year, the 29-year-old managed two top 10 finishes across both Super Twin races on the Snaefell Mountain course. And speaking of about the move, he says he'll have great people around him and is looking forward to getting preparations underway. Meanwhile, Nick Morgan of Kawasaki UK CSS Performance adds they're excited to have Adam on board, describing him as a great person to work with and someone who brings a mature, thoughtful approach to the business. Elsewhere, and in cycling, Manx Pro rider Becky Story has been back in action today, this time on the Semana Ciclista Valenciana in Spain today. During today's opening stage, none of Story's team Picnic PostNL teammates managed a podium spot, but did finish in the main peloton behind the first leading group. And finally, in equestrian, there's set to be a significant change for Manx star Yasmin Ingham in 2026. Well, the rider from Greba, who's based in the UK, has confirmed one of the horses she's competed on for the past 10 years, Rehi DJ, also known as Piglet, will now pass into the hands of the world's number one young rider, Elizabeth Barrett, from 2026 onwards. Well, in a post on social media, Ingham says Piglet has been her ultimate stalwart and best buddy of the last 10 years and is wishing Rehi DJ and Barrett all the best in the new partnership.
Rob, thank you very much indeed. Piglet is a great name for a horse, isn't it?
It is fantastic.
It is. Aww.
It's catchy.
It is. That is all from Update this evening. Thank you so much for your company, as ever. For all the details on tonight's top stories, just head over to the Manx Radio website. If you'd like to comment on them, you can join us on social media as well. Now, coming up next, it's an Island Life special, and this is to mark World Radio Day, which is tomorrow. So if you've ever wondered what it's like to work on radio, you can wonder no more. That is coming up next. After that, Greatest Hits with Chris Kinley, A Little Light Music at 9 with Maurice Powell, then Rhiann will be with you from 10 with After Hours. So whatever you're doing this evening, take care if you're out and about, and Update will be back at 5 tomorrow.